Hello again, this is the special on weight and body image from the EFT Hub. This is Gary Williams, and I'm sharing time now with Emma Roberts, EFT Master, who talks about how the media reinforces our insecurities around our body image and our weight, also the importance that beliefs play, and Emma also shares some important questions you could ask yourself or clients if you are an EFT practitioner, and the need to be realistic about what can actually be achieved in a step-by-step approach. Emma also talks about charged memories and how tricky they can be to shift. Also, why we sometimes have fears around being successful, but how commitment can actually help you to create the change you are looking for. Emma starts by talking about how she got involved with EFT and used it on herself. Here's Emma.
I got introduced to EFT in a supervision session for hypnotherapy. And I was shown a DVD of somebody, it wasn't Gary Craig actually, but somebody working with a phobia. And it just seemed too good to be true. So I thought I needed to investigate. And I've sort of been following it. It's been taking me on a path ever since.
Right.
I use it with, I use all my other skills as well in hypnotherapy and NLP fields, but I can't remember the last time I did a session without EFT. I mean, we must be talking a decade ago now, I suppose, at least.
And where did EFT lead you?
Where did EFT lead me? Well, in two directions, really. It led me on my own personal change, path of change. I started off doing the personal peace process, slightly cynically, I have to say. You don't really notice the changes in yourself until people point them out to you. It's sort of more peaceful. Things don't get you in the same way, not the same stress levels.
That's quite common, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But it's when you're experiencing it yourself, you don't remember what you were like before, if you like.
Yeah.
And that led me to going to do some trainings with Gary in the States, which led to the master's program. And to where I am now, I guess.
And you've worked in many different areas, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I work... My main passion, really, is to get this into mainstream medical fields and also into the education system. I work a lot with cancer. I work in a fertility clinic as well. But the way I work with serious disease or fertility is the same way that I would work actually in any arena. It's all about asking the right questions, connecting with the client, and allowing the unconscious to speak.
Right.
It's not me that's doing anything, but allowing the unconscious to speak to the client's unconscious and then having the space for change to happen. It's all about holding that space.
Like I say, you've worked in many different areas, and today we're talking about working with weight and body image. And have you found that your work has taken you in that direction?
Absolutely, we ran a weight loss course last weekend, actually. Yes, because, I mean, in this day and age, almost everybody, sadly, has some form of body image issue. Too fat, too thin, too tall, too short, whatever it is. The hair's the wrong colour, particularly women, actually. I say almost everybody, I mean specifically really around women, at least that's more known. Reinforced by the media, as we know. And not necessarily around weight loss or weight gain, but just feeling uncomfortable generally with how we look.
Right.
Unconfident, that sort of thing. And I think that's really sad.
Mm. And there is this kind of mythical image, isn't there, that people are trying to achieve, this the kind of thinness, and like the women they see on TV, if you like.
Absolutely. Although I think that's... Well, that's obviously virulent in the sort of in the teenage population. But I think as we get older, we're less sort of influenced by that, but more influenced by how we think we should be, by sort of our belief systems in the first place, which come before the media often. Whether we should look like the rest of our family to belong, or whether genetically we're this shape, therefore we can't change our shape. People like me or people at my age can't be this shape or whatever. We had a great one last weekend. Somebody said, I want to be, and she visualized how she wanted to be, and then she came out with a tail ender, yes, but on it, which was, yes, but if I lose that weight, I'm going to look haggard.
You see people like that, don't you, that have gone on extreme dieting, if you like, and and they look older, don't they, afterwards?
Well, absolutely. But I mean, we weren't talking about extreme, in fact, we weren't talking about dieting at all. We were just talking about visualizing yourself as kind of you would like to be, your perfect weight at the age you are right now.
Yeah.
And that had come up from her, which had then, we traced it back, had come from her sister and a comment her mother had made, and the belief had been set in action. It wasn't true. Like, she wasn't talking about losing stones. She was talking about something like, you know, possibly reshaping by a couple of pounds or maybe 4 pounds or something. It wasn't going to change her entire face. And we tapped on that, and she was able to kind of laugh at that at the end of the day. You know, it's all about a healthy weight, not about the number. But the beliefs that get in the way are just, you know, they're so powerful.
And are there people that you wouldn't work with, you know, if they come to you with a weight issue?
No. There are people that I would work with alongside other professions, such as people with anorexia or bulimia, highly complicated things. And, you know, I would be wanting to often be in touch with other professionals who they're working with, you know, maybe they're in psychiatric care, whatever. But there's nobody who I wouldn't work with.
Yeah.
One of the first questions I would ask about people who come in about specifically weight loss, you know, people think of it in terms of stones or, you know, pounds or whatever it is, kilos, sorry, in the stone age. You know, one of the first things I would ask is it reasonable? Because people are often saying, well, I want to lose, you know, I want to lose a stone. Looked like I looked when I was 18 and I'm now 55. Well, you know, is that really going to happen? No, it's not. 55-year-old's not going to look the way that they looked at 18. Even if they do lose the weight, you know, things happen, our body shape changes. So it's about sort of finding a target or a goal that's reasonable and acceptable. And sometimes that needs to be in little steps. If somebody is, you know, clinically obese, and they've been told they have to lose, under, let's say, 5, 6, 7 stone. That's such an overwhelming global concept. They just, you know, it's so unmotivating. So if you take it in, okay, let's go for 0.5 stone and visualise yourself, how do you look, and tap on the yes buts to that. And then when they get to that, then the next piece becomes more achievable. But no, I would work with everybody, actually.
And do you find that you end up working not so much on weight issues but other areas of people's lives?
Weight's never about diet and never about food, ever.
Right.
It can be about the relationship with food, which has come from, you know, experiences often earlier on in life. I mean, if you think about being a child, one of the times that you tend to be with your family or not with your family is around the dinner table. So there can be some very highly charged memories around that. Food's often used to control children. You know, if you're really good, you can have a sweet or that sort of thing. You know, my mother used to give me a sweet if I hurt myself. You know, sugar makes you better, I was brought up with. It's quite a tricky belief to shift.
Right, so we get attracted to sugar and you know, chocolate and that kind of thing. And I know within some EFT, you know, level one classes, they do the classic tapping for chocolate, don't they, and trying to you know, give up chocolate or resist it. Is that really possible?
It's possible if you want it, and it's there's no psychological reversal there, yes. But I always have a bit of a struggle with that level one thing, because you tap on cravings, which is really useful as a foot in the door, but inevitably it becomes more complicated. And then you kind of, the people at level one don't have the skills to continue with it to where it needs to go, so I do have a slight problem with that. But we have to do it. Tend to really, really stick to the basics on the cravings.
Right.
But when I did my training years ago, my equivalent to level two, that wasn't called that in those days, I did that thing. Well, I chose chocolate to because it seemed a fairly kind of simple thing to be working on. I didn't really want to give it up at all. I did stop after that for a bit. And then I got to a place where, you know, I mean, I didn't have a problem with it in the first place, really, but I came to a place where I could have some if I wanted it and not if I didn't want it. And when I did have it, I enjoyed it. So it kind of took away the kind of the guilt factor or the, you know, the negative connotations that eating chocolate seems to have in society for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So it's actually, it's a kind of like a, you know, if I have some, and I enjoy it, but I don't have to go on and have, you know, the rest of the bar or the rest of the packet or whatever it is. And that happened without me realising it on that training. So,
and what's strange is the actual taste of the chocolate changes, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. People take a bite of whatever bit it is that we've produced for them, and they'll go, oh, it tastes really sweet. It tastes so sugary. And you think, well, yeah, that's actually, you know, what it is. But it's like when you can, it's like when you clear an emotional response new to something and you can see a situation clearly, it seems to be the same with our sense of taste. You know, we actually taste it as it is rather than as we think it is. Great, because there are some chocolates that, you know, are never organic and healthy. And I'm not saying never eat chocolate again, but it's about taking responsibility for what you're putting in your mouth, whether it's a bunch of chemicals and sugar, or whether it's something that's a bit more kind of, I wouldn't say healthy, but, you know, maybe a bit more organic.
And you mentioned earlier, you know, one of the questions or a couple of questions that you could ask, say, somebody, you know, that's coming in with an issue of weight or body image. Are there other classic kinds of questions that could be asked if you're a practitioner, say, and you're working in that area?
Well, absolutely. I mean, people tend to come with weight issues having been on so many diets. They tend to come, they're experts on food, on calories. They know, you know, they've tried it again and again and again. It doesn't work. So by the time they go to see actually a therapist about it, it's kind of a last-ditch attempt, if you like, because there's a sense that goes, well, I should be able to control this, and I can't. So there's a sense of shame that comes with it in the first place. But often people are very good at losing weight and equally good at putting it back on. So one of the useful questions is, you know, what happened when you were last at your goal weight? What was going on in your life? And also imagine being there now. What will you be doing? What will people around you be saying? That often brings up stuff. You know, will they be saying, hey, you look really good? Or, you know, will they not notice? How do you feel about how people are responding to you at that weight? You know, often it's very threatening to be at that place, you know. But I think, you know, what was going on when you were at your goal weight last time is a really useful one to sort of go straight to the core.
I think you were saying earlier it was more about, say, the emotional content, wasn't it, and the things maybe from the past or whatever.
Absolutely. Well, you know, there are sort of cultural beliefs, there are family beliefs. You know, if you achieve your goal weight, and maybe your family or your friends around you are still struggling, how will they respond to you? You know, people are frightened that they'll lose their friends. People will be jealous. Somehow it's not okay for them to look good. We like to keep ourselves small, I think, and particularly in the UK, as in small and little s, we kind of keep ourselves trapped because we're not allowed to succeed. We don't have the mentality of success in the UK, I don't think.
Right.
So I think that people have a fear of succeeding, often, and that's often hidden.
Are you saying that that's cultural then?
Oh, I think it's quite pervasive in our society in the UK. Having said which, you know, the US have a culture of praising success, and they have an even bigger obesity problem than we do. So I'm not sure what's cause and effect, but I think the kind of the mentality of, you know, who am I to succeed? How are people going to react to me is quite strong here.
Yeah.
Negativity.
Yeah. And if somebody's listening to this now and they do have, you know, a body image issue or a weight issue, what can they expect if they were to come along and do some work with you?
Well, the first thing they can expect is that I'm not going to tell them to diet or look into particularly what they're eating. Although I'll be interested in the pattern of their eating. When do they overeat? You know, what are they kind of tranquilizing, if you like? Because with food, it's particularly tricky because you can get addicted to certain foods, but we have to eat. It's not like we can give up eating. So, you know, looking into where did they learn that food gets whatever it gets for you, because we attach things to food. You know, I'm going to have some chocolate and that'll make me feel better. It won't. It's just chocolate. You know, in fact, it'll give you a sugar hit, which will probably make you feel worse a little bit later. and I'm saying this as if I never eat the stuff. That's not true, but that is the reality of what happens. So it's about looking at what they're giving their power away to that food, whatever it is, and the meaning it has for them. And what would it be like if they weren't doing it? What would they have to do that they're not doing now?
And is this a quick fix, or does it really take, you know, a while, and does it vary from person to person?
Yeah, it varies from person to person, and it depends on how committed people are to working with their own stuff in between sessions. But no, I don't think that weight loss is a quick fix. I think that's the problem, one of the problems anyway, with diets and things. You get the quick fix, you stop doing it. I think this is a lifelong path, and weight is just the kind of the umbrella that it's showing up under at the moment. But I think it's just, it's the same, you know, it's the same as anything. If somebody is committed to doing, they'll go back to the personal peace process, they'll get changes with weight as well, just, you know, without actually focusing on it specifically. So I think there are various ways that you can do it, but you know, it's not a 1 minute wonder, I'm afraid, for most people.
Is it more about a lifetime change, a lifestyle change than... Just looking at the weight then.
Yeah, lifestyle change, change of beliefs about self. You know, that inner critic, so active, particularly around body image, for most people, needs to be worked with and, you know, released, really. And I think that with EFT, what we've got here in the setup statement is the core piece. So even though I weigh whatever, I deeply and completely love and accept myself anyway, with weight, and more than anything else, I think actually that's really vital, because people don't love and accept themselves when they feel overweight or they feel their body image is wrong. So if even starting from that place is so powerful.
And there's a lot of strong emotions, isn't there? Things like guilt and other strong emotions.
Guilt, shame is the big one too. Worthiness, deservedness. You know, and if somebody comes to lose weight, there's an inner conflict, because they will have done everything they can to lose it. You know, they'll be the experts. So what is it that, you know, that stops them? So it's a primary reversal that's, you know, safety. It's too frightening. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll be too attractive, or, you know, my partner might not like it, or whatever. But these are outer conscious awareness, so it's a questioning often. So it's the questioning skills that are key to this, to kind of gently prise out the beliefs. When you clear the beliefs or they get cognitive shifts, then the behaviour collapses. It's got nothing to kind of stick to.
Right. Can it be something hidden sometimes out of somebody's awareness?
Absolutely. It's obviously it's in the unconscious, otherwise they'd know about it and have dealt with it. You know, when you really recognize your belief and you challenge it in consciousness, often you can see it as being completely false. But when they're not in consciousness, what can you do about it? You know, so our job as therapists is to create that relationship with our client's unconscious mind so that the information just flows. And we've all had the experience as practitioners of kind of working on ourselves or working with other people, and they suddenly say, oh God, I'm just thinking of so-and-so. But I don't know why, you know, or this memory's just popped up and I'm not sure if it's important, but, well, it's always important. That's the unconscious mind that's kind of delivering the next piece. And, you know, the answers, the solutions are always in the unconscious, so that's where we have to go.
So it helps if you're working, say, with an experienced practitioner that's able to kind of delve into that in a deeper way?
I think you can do both. You know, I mean, Gary Craig... You've lost weight just by standing in front of the mirror and saying, no, I weigh whatever weight he wanted to be, and that's my normal weight, and it sort of happened. But, you know, Gary will have done a lot of self-work before that to clear a lot of the beliefs and things around it. He wasn't actually, he was just experimenting, I think. He wasn't actually trying to lose weight. He was just seeing what happened. You know, so I think this is kind of both. You know, if you're someone who's done an awful lot of self-work, particularly with EFT already, you might find that it's kind of the last piece and it's very easy. Others will be more complicated.
And if somebody's just getting started and looking at the weight, what would be their first step, or, you know, even body image, what would be their first step to take?
I need to download our app that's about to come out.
Right.
EFT Clinic on the App Store. If they've got an iPhone 3 or 4 or an iPad at the moment. But we've got a little, there's a bit that they can download on that. Most of it's free. Then there's a little 99p advanced bit, which is about how to start working on yourself for weight loss.
Right. Good place to go and make contact then.
There's also the free, but even if you don't download that bit, the free bit on it teaches you all the tapping, you know, in a very succinct way. So that's why I think it should be in everybody's pockets.
So anyone that's got an iPhone can just get the app for that then?
Yeah, for free. EFT Clinic.
And is there any other way that people can make contact with you to, you know, get themselves underway?
Yes, absolutely, through the website, our website, which is www.theeftcentre.com. Yes, have a look on that or send us an email, theeftcentre@googlemail.com.
Right.
You know, and just ask questions. We're always happy to, you know, happy to help.
And have you got any last thoughts on weight and body issues?
Well, Steve Wells says that belief systems are a bunch of BS. That would be my last thought. If you can actually manage to get to your beliefs and really examine them, you'll end up laughing at them. And that way, the system will change, your way of being will change. And it doesn't have to be hard work. I think that's the other thing. People think, oh, God, it's going to be such hard work. Not necessarily. It doesn't have to be. It's allowed to be fun.
And we didn't touch on exercise or things like that. Are they equally important when we're going down this road?
I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a PE class or anything. But, yes, I mean, it's fairly obvious, isn't it? Apart from anything else, if you do some exercise, even a short walk every day outside, that raises your mood, which has got to be a, you know, helpful thing. You can go for a walk and do the tapping at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, that might be a way of getting into it. So you give yourself half an hour a day whereby you're with your thoughts and your tapping, you don't speak out loud. You could even do the continual finger tapping whilst you're doing the exercise.
There's plenty you can do then in a positive way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it doesn't have to be hard work or another thing to beat yourself up with. It's actually very proactive and positive and, you know, good fun, actually. And when you get that sense of achievement, it's amazing.
And, of course, you know, we won't have this feeling maybe that, you know, when we have diets and things like that, it's kind of a vicious cycle, isn't it? And yo-yoing and all of that kind of thing. But with EFT, we can change that.
We can. I mean, diets do not work. They just simply don't work, not long-term. They work short-term, fine. But, you know, most people end up putting on more than they lost in the first place because they haven't looked at the emotional sort of drivers and the beliefs that drive that are holding the behaviour in place. It's all about changing the lifestyle, as we said earlier, and getting rid of these inner critics we seem to have so many of, you know, because they're not, it's not true. None of it's true. It's all an illusion.
My thanks there to Emma Roberts, EFT Master. And if you'd like to find out more about Emma's work, then go along to her website. That is theeftcentre.com. That's theeftcentre.com. And centre is spelled in the English way. My thanks there to Alina Frank, and if you'd like to learn more about her work, go along to tapyourpower.net. That's tapyourpower.net.